the devotees are still settling, but we have thought it's nice to have a Einstimmungslecture, a lecture which will tune us into the event. And we will do it like this. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu will speak this evening about the prayers of the devatas and for Krishna's appearance. And then I thought I would read to you in a special way from the Gaga Samhita about Krishna's appearance. So I'm very happy that you have come, and I want to greet very much our Mr. Ghosh, who is for the first time in Goloka Dham. Welcome, Mr. Ghosh. We feel extremely enlivened to see your happy, smiling face. he has come with his daughter, Anjana. Let me now just see. Did you see we offered the Lord a few items to welcome him? A little later, I want to sing with all of you a special song to welcome Lord Krishna. I really request all of you to enter the mood of Jamashtami, that is the mood where you welcome the Lord within your heart. Prabhupada, Nectar of Devotion, gives such a nice a little prayer. It's about a devotee who approaches Krishna and very innocently says, O Janardana, Janardana means the Lord who is present in everyone's heart. O Janardana, please tell us the exact day of your birthday so that we can make a nice celebration for you. So today we are very fortunate. We know the exact day of Krishna's appearance. It's tomorrow in the night. So we want to celebrate him throughout the day. And Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu will now tune us into this so that we really can celebrate and that we are there with our minds and our hearts. Hare Krishna. So nice to see you. We were a little lonely this week, but now we feel our heart is fulfilled. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Okay. For the purpose of tuning us in to the appearance of the Lord, I thought it's nice to consider a few of the prayers of the demigods to the Lord prior to his appearance. We'll talk more about the preliminary events tomorrow, how the demigods have approached the Lord, requesting him to appear. So in a sense, we're jumping ahead of the story, but I think that's all right, because the story is an eternal story, which is going on repeatedly, and also, as Prabhupada explains, the Lord is appearing, he is disappearing, but as soon as he's appearing in one place, disappearing in another, he is continually doing this. As the sun rises in one place, it's setting somewhere else. So these pastimes are going on. The demigods are very joyful because they have indeed been very concerned about the situation in the world. And they are expressing their joy. They're also expressing their understanding about the nature of the Lord, that the Lord's appearance is no ordinary appearance. And the first prayer that they offer is significant. And it's also quite poetic, because it uses much alliteration on the word satyam. Satyam, truth, reality, is a word we find in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam. Dhamna svena sadha nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. We meditate upon dhimahi, that Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Satyam Param, the Supreme Truth. And this is a theme which is elaborated throughout the Bhagavatam. Sometimes more explicitly, sometimes less. In this particular verse, the demigods elaborate quite a lot on the word satya. I'll read the Sanskrit and then the translation, because the Sanskrit is kind of fun. Satyavratam satyaparang trisatyam satyasya yoning nihitang cha satye satyasya satyam rita satya netram satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow. Vrata, of course, means vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the Supreme Truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. So the demigods are very joyful. The Lord is coming, and they are surrendering. Sharanam prapannaha. We are prapannaha. We are persons who have fallen before you. We give ourselves to you. We surrender unto you. Sharanam. So give us sharanam. Give us shelter. And why they want to give, why they want to take shelter, why they want to give themselves to the Lord is suggested by this verse and by really the remainder of their prayers. I'll just say a couple of words more on this and then I'll move on. I want to try to cover, I think, 4 or 5 verses. Well, we'll see. But I want to just stick with the first epithet, Satyavratam, you who fulfill your vow, whose vow never fails. The Lord is known as Achyuta. You all know what this means, Achyuta, infallible, or one who does not fall. And therefore, when the Lord makes a statement, he says, he fulfills it. And the one with the promise that Krishna is making, that the devatas are remembering and which we devotees always want to remember, is Krishna's promise in the Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata avyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever, wherever, there is a dharma glani. glani means fatigue, or it means a kind of finishing or reduction of some kind. of Dharma. Whenever there is this loss of Dharma, then Krishna says, I come, I appear, and I set things straight. The Lord appears. This is the, you could call it avataravada, the theology of the avatar, that the Lord comes when there is trouble and he sets things right. He's the universal policeman who sets things as they should be. Now, the question may arise, because these prayers are prayers to the Lord in the womb of Mother Devaki. The question may arise, well, what is so special about this Krishna? He is appearing in from the womb of a mother. I also appeared from the womb of a mother. You also appeared from the womb of a mother. What's the difference? Acharyas tell us, therefore, the next verse, and actually the remainder of the verses, one way or another, are replying to this question. How Krishna is different from us. So in the next verse we hear about, actually in the next verse we hear about ourselves. Ekayana sa dvipalas trimulas chaturasa panchavida shadatma sapta tvag ashta vitapo navaksho dashak chadi dvikago hi adivrikshaha. This is talking about the body of the ordinary person. And giving a little, it's kind of a game, it's kind of a riddle, really. But it's giving the answer to the riddle at the same time. The body, the total body, and the individual body are of the same composition, may figuratively be called the original tree. From this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, come two kinds of fruit. Any guesses what this body has in terms of fruit? Two sorts of fruit. Any ideas? Pain. He said painfully. Pain and happiness, sukha and dukkha, yes. The enjoyment of happiness and the suffering of distress. The cause of the tree forming its three roots is association with the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. The fruits of bodily happiness have four tastes. Any guess what those might be? Give you a hint. One of them is Dharma. Artha, Kama, Moksha, right? Yes. Which are experienced through the five senses. So we're up to number five. For acquiring knowledge in the midst of six circumstances. Lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, thirst. The seven layers of bark covering the tree are skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow, and semen. And the eight branches of the tree are the five gross and three subtle elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The tree of the body has nine hollows, eyes, ears, nostrils, mouth, rectum, genitals, and ten leaves, namely the ten airs passing through the body. In this tree of the body, there are two birds, dvikaga. One is the individual soul, and the other is the super soul. So this should make clear to us that this, our body, described here, is going to be different. It should give us a hint that possibly Krishna's body is going to be different than ours. And certainly that is the case. Okay, I'm going to move on now to verse 30, which is telling us something of avideya, process of approaching the Lord. The Lord is coming, very great, wonderful. How do you do, Mr. Krishna? Nice to meet you. Now what? So this is telling us, Tvayi ambujaksha kila sattvadani samarina veshitta cetasaike tvatpadapotena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsapadang bhavabdin tvatpadapotena. By taking shelter of your lotus, of the boat of your lotus feet. But this is not the verse which I believe you will speak on. This is the next one. Yes. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints, sages, devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Go Vatsa Padam. Bhavabdim. Kritena kurvanti. Yes. Mahat kritena kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdim. Kurvanti. They do it. What do? They take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, which are like a boat. And in Prabhupada's translation, he points out, it's very simple. Ah. That is something for us. I'm going to skip verse number 31 because this is reserved for Sachinandan Maharaj. He's going to talk about this one in just a few minutes. To go to verse 32, a very famous verse that Srila Prabhupada very often referred to. The demigods in this verse are talking about those who don't take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayi ashtabhavad avishudha buddhayaha aruhya kritrena parampadam tata patantyadho nadritta yushmad angrayaha. Prabhupada starts his translation with a long square bracket parentheses, suggesting that he's taking from the Acharya's commentary, who will explain why the demigods are giving this verse. Someone may say, and this is typical of commentary, someone may say, that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, and now we get the actual translation of the verse, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, the word is vimukta manina, those who regard themselves, manin, as liberated, vimukta, their intelligence is impure, avishuddha buddhayaha. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Aruhya kritrena. They have made great excruciating endeavors. Just like the word sounds. Kritrena. Ooh, sounds painful. Aruhya, having climbed, having climb, you know, like mountain climbing. They get to the top, param param, having gotten all the way up there, tataha, from there, patanti, they fall down. Adaha, they fall down. Why? Anadrita yushmarangraya, they don't give attention to your lotus feet. Okay, so we don't have anyone like that here. Everyone is very eager to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, especially on his appearance day. Okay. Astabhavat, I've put a note here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, out of a lack of affection for you, the Lord, they do not take shelter of you. And he makes reference to a famous verse of the Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mangmudha manushim parta, what is it? Tanum ashitam parambhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. They criticize avajananti and they say that I am simply an ordinary person, manushim bhavam, that mama bhava, my nature is manushim, is human. They think like that. Param bhavam ajanantaha, they do not know my supreme nature, and that I am Bhuta Maheshwara, the supreme lord of all living entities. And there's another interesting point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes. He says there are two kinds of jnanis who have some bhakti. There are those who are disrespectful of the Lord, who are after something other than the Lord. And there are those who are not disrespectful, but they're a bit ignorant. They also endeavor with jnana. And because they're not disrespectful, they can eventually become jivan mukta. They can actually become liberated. So Krishna doesn't mind those of us who have a bit of an attachment for jnana, us jnana mishra bhaktas, as long as we end up ultimately taking shelter in the Lord. Okay. Then I'll finish with verse 33. And this is a verse which is very encouraging for devotees. The previous verse 32 is a kind of warning to the non-devotees who think they're making progress, but they're just wasting their time. And this is a verse which is very encouraging for the devotees who may be in anxiety. Gosh, I am trying my best to serve Krishna, but sometimes I slip back. Tata nate madhavata vakakvachit brahashyanti margat tvayi badha sauridah tvaya vigupta vicharanti nirvaya vinayakanikappa murdhasu prabho. O Madhava, O Madan Mohan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus, they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. So this is a promise of victory, that we will overcome one day. We shall overcome one day. Yes. And the example that's given, three examples by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I believe, are Chitraketu, Bharata Maharaj, and Indradyumna, all three of whom, one way or another, were cursed and or slipped one way or another, fell back from their progress in spiritual life, and as we know, eventually still achieved perfection 100 times greater, it said, than otherwise might have been hoped for. So they rebounded with glory. I'll just finish with a verse which we learned long, long ago. Many devotees learned the verse. We were told it was the Jayati mantra, because the non-Brahman initiates weren't allowed to chant the Gayatri mantra, but they could chant the Jayati mantra. Remember? Some of you will remember. This was in the Bhakta quarters. Handbook of Krishna Consciousness. There you go. Jayati janani vaso devagi janmavado yadu barabari shatsvayar dhurbhirasyana dharmam sthira charavijinagna susmitashi mukena rajapuravanitanam vardhayan kamadevan. The key word here is jayati. All glories, all victory to the Lord. Jayati janani vaso, the Lord who is the shelter of all jana. That's us, all living beings, all human beings. Devaki Janmavada, who is said to be Vada, born from Devaki, and I think Sachinandan Swami is the one who knows the full details of why it has to be understood in another way as well, that in fact, Krishna is the son of Yashoda, isn't it? I remember you explaining that sometime. So, Devaki Janmavada, Yaduvara Parishat, Svayar Dorbiras, yes. So, Svayar Dorbir, with your own arms, you protect your people, Yaduvara, the best of the Yadus. Stira Chara Vrijinagna, the moving and non-moving living entities are, how is it, Vrijinagna, the obstacles are removed by you, something like that. Stira Chara Vrijinagna Susmita Srimukena, and who with a very sweet smile faces Shimukena Vrajapura Vanitanan, the residents of Vrajapura, Vrindavana, Vrajapura Vanitanan, Vardhayan, Kamadevan, and who expands Vardhayan, the bliss of the residents of Vrindavan, and Kamadeva. That's a very rough translation, all from memory. Okay. So the key word, though, is jayati, victory. And it is a day, the celebration of Krishna Janmashtami is a celebration of the victory of Krishna and his devotees. So we are preparing for Krishna's appearance, and we have to be fully ready. So for that purpose, we can feel like the demigods. We are also trying to be as demigods in the sense that we are worshiping the Lord and prepare a proper welcome for him with a proper understanding of who is this Lord. The Lord who is present in all of our hearts and who appears right here in Goloka Dham in his form as Shishi Madan Mohan, together with Radha, together with Madan Mohan Mohini. if we had the name Madan Mohan Mohini Madan Mohan, we would have quite some singing to do. Jaya Madan Mohan Mohini Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan Mohini Madan Mohan. Anyway, I'm just getting silly. Okay. I will end there. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So now we'll be hearing Amrita from His Holiness Sachinanand Swami from Garga Sanhita, which is a text of many wonderful revelations about the Lord and His pastimes. I think some of you who have been here already have been hearing some of this already. So you will be hearing more. Eine Frage. Okay.
I asked if He appears and disappears, like He closes His pastimes on the earth and then appears somewhere else, or as the analogy Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu used, that like the sun rising in one place and setting in another place. I asked if Krishna is appearing like every moment in different places in this material world.
I don't think I can give a learned answer to this, but my sense is that we want to answer instead of either or, both and. In other words, the Lord appears. We have a date, right? He appears. So before that, He wasn't here. He appeared on this date of not the Shukla, but the Krishna Ashtami, the dark fortnight. And He disappears also at a certain time, which I don't believe the devotees specify, because devotees don't like to think about the Lord's disappearance. So that day is not specified. So in that sense, you can say there's, a set moment of beginning and a set moment ending. And then, okay, He may go somewhere else. But the Lord is also not limited. And if He, and I believe that the analogy, and it's not my analogy, Prabhupada tells, and perhaps other acharyas, of the sun, then of course the sun doesn't completely stop appearing somewhere else and then start appearing somewhere. It's in phases. So my sense is that that's also happening. The Lord is appearing. I mean, if we take the point that the Lord is always performing His pastimes in Vrindavan, and that those who are advanced souls can see those pastimes happening, that would suggest something of the second possibility is there. But again, we can't deny this idea of the Lord appearing at a certain time as well. In a sense, my easy out is Krishna's statement in the Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyatva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. When we can really understand Krishna's janma and karma and that they are divya, then what? That means no more birth for us. Which suggests it's not so easy to understand, and I won't claim to have it all figured out myself yet. We're working on it. But Maharaj, do you have a more learned answer to this?
Hare Krishna. It is a question which I have had for many years, and I think it is exactly like you said, it's not easy to understand, but you please listen to me. I will try to give some additional information, but if you don't understand it, don't worry, it will come later. It is like this. The analogy of the sun moving over the firmament and being in different positions suggests that Lord Krishna will appear in one universe, then his appearance will move to another universe. Then this appearance, when it has done, when he has appeared there, he will appear yet in another universe. Now at the same time, in this universe, our universe, the Lord will be carried by Vasudev to Vrindavan. Then the Vasudev carrying the Lord to Vrindavan will happen there, and there, and it will go. Then the stealing of the Jokhort will move like this. In other words, the Lord's pastime will move like a revolving torch. And you will be able to see everywhere the Lord's pastimes. Now, you will say, well, how is this possible in terms of space and time? And the answer is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the Lord appears also, his appearance in his dham may be happening in the hearts of a devotee. And his leelas may work, he may play in different hearts of the devotees. Yes. And in this way, it can go on. But as Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has said, your answer was masterfully given. If you can understand all this, you will go back home, back to Godhead. It's not so easy to grasp it with your three-dimensional logic. But this is some explanation of the Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But don't think you have understood it. And if you have not understood it, no problem. It will come.
Now we got it.
Chant.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
We got a definitive answer. Okay.
So, Hare Krishna. This is a little spontaneous. There's a very nice song which I would like you to sing. It's called Swagatam Krishna. Welcoming Lord Krishna in the heart. I hope we will realize a little bit about this beautiful analogy of the revolving torchlight, that Lord Krishna can actually appear every time in the heart or any time.
Jayatum sarato pango mama mandamate gati matsavasva padam bojo Shiradha madana mohano Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskachyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadarara Shiva Shadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu very nicely read to us the prayers of the devatas in the womb, took Lord Krishna, who was at that time receiving the prayers in the womb of Devaki. I would like to read with you today one particular shloka from this.
Svayam samuttirya sudashtaram yuman bhavanavam bhimam adaprasurida bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate nidayayata sadanukraho bhavan.
O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Banchakalpataru.
When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Srila Prabhupada introduces his purport. It's one of the last purports he wrote, with a very nice statement. He said, this statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. The Lord is merciful because He inspires His men, the acharyas, who have taken total shelter under His lotus feet, to give to the conditioned souls a process whereby which the conditioned souls can be liberated from this terrible ocean of material existence. This process has been compared to a boat which has been used with full success by the merciful acharyas who went back home, back to Godhead by this process. This boat is different than you expect the boat to be. When someone is on this side of a river, no? And takes a boat to cross the river to come to that side, the boat is there. It's not here where you stand. But the merciful acharyas cross with their boat the ocean of birth and death, the samsara, but they mystically leave the boat on your side so that you can also take it if you want. Hare Krishna. There's another boat. A boat which the demigods once took in order to bring Lord Krishna to this world. Just like the acharyas who have given us a way so that we can contact our Lord. The demigods once were thinking how they could give the conditioned souls relief from their problems. At that time, Kamsa ruled the world and made it into a place where sacrifices and any Krishna conscious activities were totally forbidden and not possible to be executed. It was a hellish period of planet Earth. And Mother Bhumi did not know what to do. She was so tortured that she took on the form of a cow and went with the demigods to that one place in the universe where the Lord resides in his form as Chirodakashayi Vishnu. The demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, said, "Lord, we have brought Mother Bhumi. It's so bad on planet Earth. Look, she is crying. She cries for you to appear." The Lord said, "I can't help you. You must go to Krishna, and he is at the moment not in the universe." Oh Lord Vishnu, said the demigods, is there a Lord higher than you? Lord Vishnu smiled and said, "Foolish demigods, of course, I am only an expansion of the two-handed flute player of Vrindavan. I am only an expansion of Krishna." Then said the demigods, "How can we find Lord Krishna?" Vishnu smiled another time and he said, "Go this way." He pointed up to a path through which Mother Ganga had entered the universe. Do you know this path? It's a hole in the universe which has been kicked by the toe of Vamana Dev. Then the Ganga came down through this. So all the demigods got in a boat. I don't know what was the propelling force of that mystical boat. Maybe it went by willpower. And they passed on the path of Mother Ganga. It was very loud. Mother Ganga was very astonished. A boat was going against her stream. It left the universe, our particular universe, with the demigods in there. Lord Vishnu was the captain of that boat because he knew the direction. The boat went and left this universe. All of a sudden, the demigods found themselves in open space. And as they looked down, they saw many, many universes drifting like the kukuti fruits and the undumbara fruits on an ocean. And they saw our universe is so small in comparison to this universe and that universe. Higher they went, higher and still higher. They crossed finally the Viraja, that's the river which separates the spiritual from the material world. And as they came to the other side, they were met by a powerful white light, which was very, very strong and threatened to take away their vision. So Vishnu said, "Throw yourself down in obeisances. This is the effulgence of Lord Krishna." They all lie there. And then they carefully moved on until they finally, it's a long journey, I don't have the time to describe it, came into a wonderful world whose entrance was closed. There was a closed gate. What to do now? Said the demigods. Well, you have to knock. This is the world. This is the gate into the world of Goloka Vrindavan. Knock well. Make yourself heard. But don't expect Lord Krishna to come so easily. He will send one of his assistants. And this assistance will most probably ask you a difficult question. Be prepared. So they knocked. The door opened. And they expected anything to happen. But a little girl came out. It was very small. And the little girl began to smile at them. Her name was Shata Chandranana, or short Chandranana, a famous gopi, dressed in yellow garments. She held a stick in her hand. And she was very friendly to Lord Krishna. And she said, "What do you wish, demigods?" The demigods looked at her. A small little girl was the guard of this wonderful world. They were a little proud. Then the girl perceived this and asked them a question. "From what universe have you come? Tell me the glories of your universe and I will go to the Lord and tell them that you have come." The demigods were shocked. "We only know one universe. That's the universe we are inhabiting. Are other universes also inhabited? Are there other places which are even more wonderful than our place? Oh, beautiful one, we don't think that there's any universe beyond our own universe. There's no world beyond our world." Chandranana smiled and laughed and said, "Oh, Brahma, don't speak so foolishly. There are many millions of universes, much more big than the one from which you have come. And in each universe, there are many demigods much more intelligent than you. You do not even know your names. You never left your own little homes. You remained happy with retarded minds." Now she gets heavy. And now I will read to you. "Mocked in this way, the demigods became silent. They were intimidated. So Lord Vishnu spoke some words to them. He said, 'Chandranana, don't shock these poor souls. We stay in a universe where the Lord appeared as Prishnigarbha. It's a universe which is broken by Lord Trivikrama's toenail. That's we have a broken universe." "Okay," said Chandranana, "I will tell my Lord." She praised Lord Vishnu and then gave the demigods some permission to enter. She said she would go ahead and inform Lord Krishna, and they should now go through this wonderful world and make themselves familiar with the beautiful sight of reality. So the demigods went, and my dear devotees, what they saw was wonderful. they saw millions of cows wettening the meadows with the milk from their udders. They saw the king of mountains, Giriraj, Govardhan. They saw the forests of Vrindavan, which were wonderfully decorated, and they also saw the beautiful banyan baum, a banyan tree, in Bandiravan, where the Lord used to go to play his transcendental flute and call his different devotees. What they immediately saw was that everyone was so happy and so joyfully. She saw cowherd boys, they saw cowherd boys dancing around, calling the names of their Lord. They heard in the background the sound of Lord Krishna's transcendental flute. And finally, they entered into the personal grove. Grove is something like an artful gathering of trees which are gathered in such a way as to give place for sitting places. We say in German, Lauben, in Kunjas. There they saw a lotus flower growing with 16 petals. Above that, there was another lotus flower with 8 petals. Above this, there was a long path with 3 stairways. And finally, they saw up there a beautiful throne where Lord Krishna was sitting with Sri Radhika. Lord Krishna held a beautiful flute. He smiled very gently, and his eyebrows were dancing like the bows of Kamadev, the Lord of love, who makes our life so difficult in this world that we sometimes behave in an embarrassing way. The Lord's eyebrows were dancing like the bows of Kamadev. They were dancing, and he was smiling. He was splendid as a rain cloud. He had eyes which looked like lotus petals. And he had a garland which seemed to sing, but the garland was not singing. It were the beautiful humming bees who were singing sweet ragas as they were swarming around the garland. You must know that sometimes Lord Krishna is so much in love that he does not know what raga to play, because he is thinking of his dear devotees. And at that time, the king of the bee comes very close to his ear and starts to give the raga. And Krishna says, oh yes, that's it. And then he takes the king of the bee as his musical teacher, who teaches him the appropriate raga for the time and the occasion. It's a very, very, very blissful description which is here of Lord Krishna. The demigods were so happy that it seemed to them that they had all jumped in an ocean of bliss and that they were drowning in it helplessly. Their eyes were now filled with tears, and they bowed down to Lord Krishna to give their respectful obeisances. Now when they came up, they saw a wonderful scene happening, which is almost too difficult to describe. Please listen very carefully. They saw that from somewhere an eight-armed Vishnu was flying through the sky and entering into the body of Lord Krishna, where it merged. Then they saw that powerful Lord Nrsingadev, who was effulgent as millions of suns are effulgent, came flying through the sky and entered into Lord Krishna's effulgence. Then, holding a bow and arrow, together with Sita, accompanied by his brothers, lotus-eyed Lord Ramachandra also came in a golden chariot and then disappeared in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, Lord Krishna showed to the demigods of our little planet that he is the source of all the other incarnations. Lord Narayan came and they merged and came out. And the demigods were totally amazed. And they prayed a prayer, and I would very much like if you can pray the prayer with me. Please move your hands in a prayerful gesture. We will say it in Sanskrit, but I will read it to you in English. Obeisances to Sri Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is greater than the greatest. Krishna is the master of all our sacrifices. And Lord Krishna is the cause of all other causes. He is the lover of Radha. He is the most perfect. And Lord Krishna is the Lord who resides in Goloka. Please repeat. Krishnaya Puna Purushaya Parat Paraya Yakyeshvaraya Parakarana Karanaya Radhavaraya Paripunatamaya Sakshat Golokadama Dishanaya Namah Parasamaya. So they said many wonderful prayers, the demigods, to the master of Goloka Dham. It's a very beautiful thing. And then they came. Then Lord Krishna said, "You have prayed so nice. Wonderful prayers." We have to use this prayer also in English. O King of Vrindavan. O King of the Mountain King, Giriraj. O King of Braj, O King who enjoys cowherd boys' pastimes, O King of Radha, O King of the great philosophers, O Lifter of Govardhan Hill. O Lord, who can do any impossible thing, please save us. Okay. By this, they had given a hint to Krishna. We are in trouble. We have a problem. Please solve it. And then the Lord began to speak. Do you know that for the devotees there are four things which they want to hear? First is they want to hear the voice of the Lord, who is as dark as rolling this deep, 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 as it's as deep as rolling thunder. Then the devotees want to hear the tinkling of the bells of Lord Krishna's feet and the tinkling of his bracelets. Then the devotees want to hear the speech of the Lord, what he says. And finally they want to hear the flute of the Lord. This is a statement by Krishna Das Kaviraj about the four wonderful sounds of the Lord in the 17th chapter of Antya Lila. So, devotees, we don't have to say much more than save us. The Lord will know what is our problem. And the Lord said to them something which is very important for us to hear. He said, I will descend. I will remove the earth's burden. I will perform the work you request. They hadn't said anything, but Krishna knew why they had come. I will take birth in the Yadu's family. And then he said, you will also take birth there. And then he turned to Radharani and said, and you please also come. Radharani looked at him. She played with her lotus and said, no. I cannot go to a place where there is no Giriraj and where is no Yamuna, where is no Vrindavan. I cannot go there. And Krishna said, okay Giriraj, okay Vrindavan, okay Yamuna, then you also have to appear in this world as Vrajadham. Good that Radharani said this, because by Radharani's request, all the devotees have an embassy now. In the material world, they have the exact Goloka Dham in Braj Bhumi, where the Lord can grant you your passport to go back to the spiritual world. Yes, yes. Well, and in this way, the wonder happened. Lord Krishna appeared. He appeared, and in this way we are saved. The Garga Samhita says, a person who has a tongue but who does not glorify glorious Sri Krishna is a foolish person. Even if he somehow approaches the staircase to liberation, he cannot climb it. My dear devotees, these are intense words, but they are for us. We have approached, by Prabhupada's mercy, the stairways to Goloka Vrindavan. If we want to climb the staircase, we have to start glorifying the Lord in all earnestness. Let us make an attempt tomorrow to move out of the prison of anthropocentrism into the free world of theocentrism. In other words, tomorrow we will leave our little world, our little minds behind, and we will open our lives to the beautiful world of Lord Krishna, who has so kindly appeared. We will not think about hunger. We will not think about thirst. We will not think about gossip. We will not think about our problems which we have brought in our backpacks, dutifully carrying them, although they are only burdens and don't help us. Tomorrow we will think about Krishna, and we will glorify Krishna and try to give him the most wonderful festival. Please try to be here as someone who wants to give pleasure tomorrow on the birthday. Isn't it when we are birthday? When there's birthday, we want to give pleasure to the person. We feel like this. I remember the very dear person who is very dear to me in Mumbai had birthday, and the moment I heard it, I thought, I'm not very rich in rupees at the moment, but I will buy flowers for him, and then I will open the door to his apartment and I will say, I have a song for you. And then I will sing happy birthday, and the person will like it very much. He will feel, oh, this person wants to please me. Then I will give the flowers, and I will give nice sweets and good words, and then make pleasure to that person. Yesterday, no, a few days ago, we had in Goloka Dham 3 birthdays all at one time. There was Premavati, there was Krishnanandini, and Gaurabhavani were there, all 3 at one. 3 and 1. And we all decided spontaneously on the project to give pleasure to them, to give them gifts and cakes and songs and so on. And can't we do this tomorrow with Krishna? Shouldn't we for one day leave our little world behind, you know, which Shatachandranana had mocked? Even if you are a demigod, if you are as big as a demigod, the world is small, your problems are small, your lifetime is extremely small. Shatachandranana had said to the demigods, don't you know that in each universe there are so many living entities, but they are all like mosquitoes in a fruit, live only for a few days. Shatachandranana wanted the devatas to become humble and humble themselves before the Lord. And she was successful because only the humble souls will come to the Lord. So tomorrow we have a good practice field. Please make tomorrow your wonderful time in Krishna consciousness. And you will see, if all of us have this decision when we get up from our beds tomorrow, tomorrow the Lord will be celebrated. Then you will have the most wonderful Jamashtami, because the Lord reciprocates in the degree in which the devotees give him pleasure. And tomorrow, please, every one of you, you are very essential. We form one group. We are conditioned souls from the broken universe which was cracked by the toe of the Lord. We will go tomorrow before the Lord and pray to him, sing for him, dance for him, leave our minds for him behind for one day only. You can pick it up later. Give him pleasure. You will see this Goloka Dham. You will see why it is called Goloka Dham, because you will experience it. I want to end here. It's 9:30, and you have to greet each other. I want to also say how happy I am always when I see devotees in bigger numbers, and when I see that they are so wonderful as you, who have come from far away to celebrate at the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. Very happy. Please also have sufficient association. Talk about your lives with each other tomorrow in Krishna consciousness, and you will appreciate the many devotees very much. I wish you a very pleasant night. Sleep well and wake up well. Sri Krishna Jamashtami Mohotsava ki, Shishira Ramadan Mohan ki. Go, pray, manandi, hari, hari, bo.